This is Jaguars This Week. Jaguars This Week. With the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton. Color analyst Jeff Lugeman. Jaguars.com senior writer John Osher. And Tony Boselli.
Now that's a cool cat.
Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Ticket Exchange and by Everbank.
Jaguars This Week. Jaguars This Week begins right now.
And we welcome you into Jaguars This Week. JP Shadrick filling in for Brian Sexton. Tony Boselli's here. Jeff Lugeman, John Osher. A packed house at Jaguars Central tonight.
It's always good when it's packed.
It's packed most every weekend here, right?
Especially, this is, you know, for a summer show, this is good. Usually people are on vacation. It's, you know, Sexton's gone, but to get the other three of us knuckleheads here, it's pretty good. What, it's always good to have you, JP, leading the way.
Anytime you two are in the same room together, it's packed. Let me just say that.
What are you trying to say there, Lars?
Thanks a lot.
Well, if you figure it out.
I think JP and I look good.
I do too, yes. I agree with that.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Busy week. It's been very crowded in the quarterback room lately, too. The Jaguars were awarded Mike Kafka off waivers from New England. He is now the fifth quarterback on this roster, guys. Four of them on the field right now. You want competition? I think they have some.
I'm just wondering if they have enough seats in the meeting room. I mean, real. I mean, it's not very common to have, even at this time of the year, to have five quarterbacks in a room.
Well, and Gus said today there's a chance they take all five into camp.
I don't think so. I know he said it. And that's what he said to the media. I just don't see it. I mean,
What's the point?
Is it 90 guys in the roster you get to take into camp, 95? What's the number?
90.
It changes, seems like, every CBA. And so you have 90 guys you can bring into camp. I mean, do you want to bring five quarterbacks? I mean, unless you have no clue who your backup is, because in today's NFL, most teams are only carrying two on the active roster and a practice squad guy. So unless you have no idea who that second guy is going to be, then why bring five in? I mean, unless you – the only thing I can think of, you have Blaine, Kafka, and Henny that are going to be fighting for those top two positions. And then you have Scott and Rogers who are going to be vying for the practice squad.
I got an idea on that, and I'll share it with you in a minute.
Okay.
How about that?
All right. That'd be great. Like, we'll look forward to that.
Are we waiting for something? Well, I missed something.
Here's what Gus Bradley – you mentioned Gus Bradley.
Oh, Gus.
Speaking to the media today. Here's what Gus had to say about
five
quarterbacks, a possibility of it in camp.
We're still discussing that right now. There's a couple other teams that have five quarterbacks at this point in time, and it's something that we'll discuss, but it's not far-fetched.
They're not far-fetched, just like you guys said there. You know, it's I'm trying to think.
Actually, Tony said it was far-fetched.
I think it is far-fetched. I don't think it happens.
Right. Well, he said,
and I'm not saying Gus is lying, but, I mean, Gus is basically saying, I'm not sure, and he could see a scenario there.
Can somebody tweet out Boselli just called the head coach a liar?
I did not say he's a liar.
He's right down the hall. I'll go get him.
I mean, I can go talk to Gus. I said, Gus, I mean, five guys. Look, unless you don't know.
Well, here's my theory.
Yes, sir.
Is that I think that you're going to keep one of the two guys that wins the job, and keeping a backup at what would be a fairly expensive rate probably won't happen. You know, Chad Henne's his number's probably right around, you know, $3 million, something like that. Blaine Gabbert's number is not that high because he came in after the situation was, you know, changed with the rookie pay scale. You know, so maybe this is a situation where they're looking at maybe a less expensive backup option. I mean, that's just a guess. I don't know that.
No, I agree with that. And I agree with that. I think
Would you pay, Tony, if you're Shad Khan, are you going to pay a backup quarterback $3 million?
I would not. I would pay a backup quarterback $3 million if I thought I was a team that was fighting to go to the Super Bowl and I had a complete – like a perfect example.
Here's one example.
San Francisco 49ers. They are a team that can win without a – franchise quarterback. I think Colin Kaepernick will be that guy.
You've got to have the guy that legitimizes keeping. Now, if it's Joe Montana and Steve Young, no problem. I'm going to pay $3 million. But if it's not Steve Young or Joe Montana, no.
And I agree with you. And so, and I think
on a developmental roster, it's tough to do.
And I think Kafka is going to be on. I think he's one of the guys going into camp. I don't think you put him off waivers without that mindset. And so then the question is, so those three, the veterans probably, if we are betting men, are going to be there. Then you have Rogers and Scott. Do you bring two young guys coming into camp to round out five guys? Because here's the thing. You can bring five guys into camp, but really what kind of look are you going to get at those guys? Because all five aren't going to get meaningful reps. And well, the evaluation is going to be very difficult.
Right.
The interesting thing there is Jordan Rogers has played one day. So you have no idea what you've got from him. Matt Scott, I think, has looked better in the last couple of weeks than he did in the beginning. So you would think that he would get a chance to go into camp.
And
so
that, and Scott, a tough call. He's got a nice arm.
Yeah,
by
he's
the way.
Looked better.
And Scott ran the number two-minute drill today, didn't he? I couldn't tell if that was the twos.
Well,
or the
later on, they it was Chad and Blaine, but he did get a 2-minute drill in practice
with the twos.
Yeah,
yeah.
John, you wrote a story for today on Jaguars.com. You spoke with Chad Henne, mm-hmm. and what's his take on all this?
Well, he's taking the attitude you'd expect. I mean, he's a guy who has started. He believes this is a competition. He's been told that it's whoever wins the job, and that's the approach he's taken. Is that as he should? He's going to go into training camp. They're splitting reps right now. He's going to go to training camp, try to win the job. And that's exactly what you'd have expected him to say. He's a confident guy. He's been around 6 years. He should expect to start.
Blaine Gabbert spoke to the media today as well and said, you know, competition is everywhere in the league and might be a little bit too much. But here's what Blaine had to say earlier.
I think competition brings out the best in everybody. And there's competition every year, whether it's set or not. You got to earn your pay, earn your job every day.
Well, that's what – you expect him to say that. That's the
what
company
else is he
going to
say?
Yeah. But you know,
he's
got to
be the leader right
that's
now.
That's
right?
The atmosphere when you have a new general manager and a new coaching staff that is just it's permeates through the building. I mean, that's what happens. I mean, it's there, and they obviously are stressing competition, and it's going all the way through the quarterback position. I mean, we may end up in the week of preseason game number 4. Not knowing exactly what it's going to be going into the season as far as the starting lineup.
And
in
Jeff,
a lot of cases.
I think it goes back to what we talked about last week where it's two guys vying, and I said, well, if you have two guys fighting for one, the starting quarterback job this time of year means you really don't have a starter at this point. And what I mean by that, you don't have an established guy. And this is a situation where on this team, young, developing, a young quarterback in Blaine Gabbert going into his third year, and no one wants to say this, but he made a progression from year one to year two.
He did.
Does he need to get better? Absolutely. But he's not established. Listen, if this was a ball club that was still trying to build and was struggling but had a franchise quarterback, that wouldn't be a competition per se. Listen, it's always a competition, like Blaine said, and you always have to have that mindset to be a pro and to improve no matter how many Pro Bowls or All Pro or whatever you've been to. But if you had that franchise guy, that would be an established position, and the guys would be fighting for the backup.
Here's
and that's not the case here, though.
One of the things that may be a conversation in the personnel room is, what's the upside of Chad Henne?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because in his sixth year, is he what he's going to be? With Blaine Gabbert, you know, 3 head coaches, 2 years, 2 different offensive systems, is the upside greater for a guy like him? I would have to think that is a conversation that's going on right now.
I'll go as far as this. If Chad Henne wins the job, Blaine Gabbert will be the backup. If Blaine Gabbert wins the job, I'm not sure who the backup is.
Right. Well, you have 4 options.
This team needs to worry about who the starter is. Now in New England, the top conversation may be who's going to be the backup.
Are you really going there this early in the show? I mean, are you going there?
Oh, goodness.
Are you sure we want to drive down this path, Mr. Loggeman?
The bus is rolling downhill. The brakes are about to fail.
They're out.
Afraid. The Metro PCS call-in line is 355-NFL-1. We'll get your thoughts on the quarterback competition. 5 quarterbacks. We might even get your thoughts on quarterbacks at other teams, too. Maybe not.
Is there a competition in New England? That's next.
1-800-355-NFL-1. When we come back, yes, we will talk about that, man. He's making promises he might not be able to keep, Joe.
Yeah, how about that, JP? Hey, Jaguars fans, you can be rewarded just for being social at the new Jaguars Social League. Sign up, sync your social media platforms at jaguars.com/social league. You'll earn points every time you post something Jaguars, and then use those points to win great prizes, including a trip to the Jaguars game in London. Good luck to you. Jaguars This Week rolls on right here on Jaguars Radio. Hey parents, now's the time to sign your children up for the Jaguars Kids Club. It does have its advantages. Members get a Jags Kids Club kit. That includes a welcome letter, membership card, certificate, t-shirt, invites to exclusive Jaguars events, a birthday card from Jacksonville, and other really cool Jaguars stuff. For more info, just go to jaguarskidsclub.com. Now, speaking of kids, JP, you got some kid stuff going on this weekend, don't you?
Yeah, the Got Skills Rookie Camp is this Friday on the practice fields, and all the rookies will be there. The veterans are done after tomorrow, of course. They're gone for a few weeks. But the rookies are still in town, so I think they're allowing up to 200 kids to sign up online. Go to Jaguars.com, check it out. I'll MC the event and get things going.
A lot going on. That caravan is a full blast. Yeah. We were in Daytona last Friday, yeah. Altamont Springs, Orlando on Saturday. We're in Valdosta Saturday, Waycross Friday night. So, and then next week it's I'm not even going to try to figure out where we are because it's every night. I'm sure JP can go over it.
I've got a
My
full
calendar
list.
Is full for
JP's got all that for you.
I am all over the place.
We'll get to that coming up a little bit later. The full schedule of the caravan's coming up, and it's good to see the Jags back out in the community, even throughout the region. The Metro PCS calling line is 355-NFL1. That's 355-6351. Slap a 1-800 in front of it if you're out of the area. Okay, this is the Jeff Lagerman segment tonight.
He's driving this out of control bus.
So, yeah, and the reason I wanted to bring this up is because, I mean, here we are.
We'll give a little background. I mean, it's
yesterday.
Tebow signs with the Patriots.
Well, I mean, the number two story on SportsCenter behind the NBA, Miami Heat, and the San Antonio Spurs is Tim Tebow. I mean, he is a third string quarterback going to the New England Patriots, but it was the number two story to lead SportsCenter. And here's
the Heat and Spurs did beat it.
I have no idea.
Barely. Yeah,
but he said something that I want to talk about, and here's Tim.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to working hard every single day and getting a lot better and learning under some great people. So that's all I got, but thank y'all so much, and God bless. I'm sure we'll be talking more soon.
What strikes you out of what he just said?
Well, I know what you're going to say. Well, I'm sure we'll be talking more soon.
There it is. He picked it right up.
I'm sure we'll be talking more soon.
Well, I
think he's playing to the fact that, listen, I take that as almost a joking manner, like this is ridiculous because I know the fact that this is a media circus and here we go, so I'm sure I'll be talking to you later.
Yeah, but you know what?
Will he, though?
No.
I don't think he will. I don't think he will, and if you listen to Bill Belichick's comments, I mean, he had a lot
he
of –
He was classic.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know. And I love when they ask Brady, how will you feel if you're taking off for – the field for a Tebow package. He goes, I really haven't thought about it. That's a pretty hypothetical situation.
See, that's good stuff. And I mean, to me, that was the whole fun of it was watching the press conference and then hearing what he said, and knowing that, hey Tim, you're competing for a roster spot, trying to be the second guy because
Ryan Mallett's the second.
He's the second guy.
He's a good young quarterback.
So you have
Speaking
to prove
of having the two quarterbacks like we were earlier. That's a place where you have two guys that they really like. Of course, Brady and then Mallett.
Well, they were talking about perfect. The trade value of Ryan Mallett, but they didn't want to give him up because they value him. You know, so Tim's got to make the team as a third team guy. He's got to find some value somewhere else besides the quarterback position.
Yeah, because if I'm the Patriots, I'm keeping Ryan Mallett because it's not like Tom Brady's a spring chicken.
And for him to say, I'm sure we'll be talking more. If it was tongue-in-cheek, which it didn't appear to be.
I think it was. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
They're not going to be lining up press conferences for you, Tim, up there in New England.
Well, if anyone can shut down the Tebow circus, it's Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots. And I know that firsthand doing national radio. Doing playoff games on the sideline where they have to give me someone post-game.
And they still almost don't.
TV's one and I'm two. I had to, like, tackle somebody on the sidelines to get them to do an interview. Their PR people did not want to help out. And once I got them, they were scared to death to talk to me. Or Patrick Chung said, are you sure I'm allowed to talk? I'm like, you're a grown man. Of course you're allowed to talk.
How long will it take Bill Belichick to grow tired of the question?
He probably already is. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
He's tired. He was tired of the media before he ever signed.
I think
anybody.
The first time he probably finds it a little bit entertaining because he gets to be the bad guy, which he likes to do.
And he has a better sense of humor than I think that anyone gives him credit for.
Oh, he does.
I think he loves all this.
He's gonna grow weary of it after a while, though, because that drum's gonna keep getting beaten.
I think he'll shut it down. I don't think. I think the drum will be silent.
I'm sure we'll be talking more soon.
Hey, John. What if he signs with another team? Even then.
Yes, even if he signs another team.
What team?
No, I got a question. It was a pretty good question the other day this morning. Somebody said, even if he signs with another team, if he's released. It's been a fun off season on that front. I think this situation is the sort of situation I thought that Tim needed to be in, behind a quarterback where there's not a question that he's going to play. And hopefully for his sake, it will give him a chance to try to learn for a little while.
There were two places that I would hope that he would end up. One was New Orleans. The other one was New England, because, I mean, obviously nobody's going to be clamoring for him to play behind Drew Brees and Tom Brady.
Right. I thought Pittsburgh would have made sense. Any place with a strong quarterback and a strong organization that can shut down the noise.
Good for him.
Yeah.
I hope he makes it. Hope his career continues.
Frankly, I'm exhausted over this segment.
You didn't even want to do it.
No, I didn't. I'll be quite honest.
We had people hanging up on us because they didn't want to do it.
You know what that is? That's the Alabama bias in you.
We made him cry. Remember that.
Oh, was that Alabama?
That was an Alabama.
I love how we say we. Like, you had anything to do with it, JP.
I was there.
We made him cry. No, you did not make him cry. Maybe Nick Saban and the Alabama defense, but you did not do anything.
I remember Boselli saying this, when at some point this year in a game broadcast, Tony Boselli pulls out we.
No, I'm not,
I can't believe we did that.
No, I'm not a we guy.
I don't know. Johnny, do you remember Tony saying we a few times in the past?
Preseason, because we're doing covering just the Jaguars. We're not can't do we. No we. I don't know. Are you allowed to do we on the home broadcast?
No, but you're just working for the team now.
Do you do you say
we?
You're
not a national guy anymore.
I don't, but if you want to, I'm all for it.
Well, I'm being a serious question. Are we allowed to say we? I mean, obviously national.
I'm not wearing Jaguar games,
and the producer's like, remember, national broadcast.
I'm not wearing a
uniform. Your name's on the side of the stadium. Do whatever you want.
Thank you very much. Johnny O, I like it.
I don't know if you heard, but Tony Boselli's in the pride of the Jaguars. Just ask him. He'll tell you.
I don't have to tell you. Johnny O does it for me.
Very nice. Got a lot coming up on Jaguars this week. We'll come back with Maurice Jones-Drew. He addressed the media Monday. And what this means for the Jaguars moving forward, Joe.
All right, JP. Hey, are you getting your Jaguars rewards? Well, sign up at rewards.jaguars.com. You'll get cash back or credit for future season ticket purchases every time you shop online using the Jaguars Rewards website. That's rewards.jaguars.com. Jaguars This Week rolls on right after news. Here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to Jaguars This Week. Thank you for spending your Wednesday evening with us. This portion of Jaguars This Week, JP Shadrick, is brought to you by Fanatics.com.
All right, Metro PCS call-in line is 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Throw an 1-800 in front of that if you're out of the Jacksonville area. This is a Patriots-free zone. The rest of the show, I just declared that right here in front of Jeff Logger.
Okay.
So, we did tease before the break that we had mentioned Maurice Jones-Drew. That happened back on Monday when the team reported for this mandatory minicamp on Monday. Maurice spoke to the media. He wanted to get it out of the way before camp started. It was his first public comment since the incident in St. Augustine. Here's a little bit of what Mojo had to say on Monday.
I'm just trying to continue to work on concentrate on football and get myself back into great shape. Anything about this legal matter, obviously I can't talk about it. It's an ongoing investigation. I understand, I understand that you guys are very, this is why everyone's here, but that's why we decided to have this deal today, so we don't take away from what the team has done and what they're going to do throughout this week.
And that's what you expect Mojo to say there. It's an ongoing legal situation.
I thought it was brilliant.
And just get it out of the way. Right?
I mean, I thought it was brilliant to do it on Monday.
Oh, you know, it's the right move.
To not take away the attention from the team and mini camp, to have Maurice come in early, meet with the press, and get it done. And he obviously said nothing, and you didn't expect anything.
It was the press conference about nothing.
But to get it past the team, I thought was very smart by the team to go ahead and do that before mini camp, et cetera.
Well, and I think the more on-field issue is still going to be, is he going to be ready? What his physical conditioning is going to be? You know, is he going to be 100% come training camp? I think that's more of an issue than the off-field stuff.
And John, I agree with you.
Or as much.
I think it's more. I mean, if I'm looking at evaluating where this team is and with Maurice Jones-Drew, running back position, listen, it is what it is, whatever happened down there or didn't happen. And that's out of everyone's control, and it really is – that's why I say it's the press conference about nothing, because Mojo can't say anything. I mean, and Jeff's right, brilliant strategy, do it Monday, get out of the way. But I would love, I mean, you're a media guy, John. What did the media expect him to say? Go into a detail, minute by minute of what happened and how it happened, and this is what I did, and this is what he did. And
that would have been nice.
But it's not going to happen.
That would have been breaking news.
But it's not going to happen. We know that. Evaluating it, the biggest issue is Maurice Jones-Drew going to be ready to play physically with that Liz Frank injury, which is a serious injury? Seeing him at the mini camp this week, it looks like he's lost some weight. He's starting to get more into shape. He talks about how he's running and cutting, which is all great news. I, for one, learned my lesson a few years ago when we bet against him. Would he be able to come back with that knee and be the same player? He was better than ever and led the league in rushing. And so if I'm going to bet, I'm going to bet on Mojo on the physical side. But that's the big question. I mean, what will he be able to do week one when they roll out the football?
And in a news item that will surprise nobody, the best stuff that Mojo said is that he's irritated with the media for not believing he's going to come back. So there's a shock. He's a little ticked off the media.
He's one of those guys.
Chip on the shoulder guy.
He loves to play with a chip on his shoulder.
Right.
I mean, that's
his motivation right now.
I mean, if that motivated him to lead the league in rushing,
sure.
I mean, great. Let's have him, you know, have that motivation again. But, I mean, this is a different injury. This is a foot. I mean, we had Ahmad Bradshaw with the Giants has had issues with it for multiple years, and you're talking about a foot and a running back. And I'm going to use my Allen Iverson here. We're talking about a foot. We're talking about a foot for a running back.
But it can be done. Dwight Freeney had the same injury in 2007, came back 08, 09, and 010 was the same player. So it can be done. But it is a
big question mark.
Yes, it is a huge question mark.
And if he wants to get upset about people questioning that, good for him.
Oh, yeah,
it's
but
great
you,
motivation.
He'd be upset if they were questioning his breakfast.
I mean,
that's just part of his MO.
That's
what makes him fun to cover, you know.
He
wakes up in the morning figuring out what chip he can put on his shoulder because that's what gets him going, and
you know
I'm
who
good with that.
That reminds me of going back to your original stint here in Jacksonville covering the Jaguars.
Gene Fournette.
What player in the early days?
Keenan
McCardell.
Sure.
That's exactly the same type of player that Keenan was, and Keenan loved to have any ammunition to put on his shoulder.
Of course, I think more people have doubted Keenan than have really doubted Mojo. Most people don't really doubt Mojo all that much, but to his credit, he figures out a way to have it motivate him, and he's been very successful doing it.
You ever had Liz Frank?
Yes. Did not require surgery. I had it the 12th, 13th game in 1995.
Oh, it's a scary injury. I mean,
I didn't know if I was going to be a play again. I can tell you that.
I remember talking to Dwight Freeney the offseason he had it, and he came back fine, and after the fact, you'd have never known there's any difference. That offseason, he was scared by it.
Oh, I was totally scared in the winter of 96. When we came back to work out and started running, soreness, swelling, I was like, uh-oh.
And it took longer than you thought it was going to.
It took a very long time. But eventually it healed. Mine didn't require surgery, like I said. But that was probably the most concerning injury, even more so than my ACL reconstruction, because there's a whole track list of people that have come back from an ACL reconstruction. The foot is a little bit more unknown. You're talking about a part of the body that has a lot of different working parts.
Yep. Tony, you ever had anything close to that?
It's the only injury I haven't had.
That's it. It's the only one.
I think me and Tony got everything
covered.
Seriously,
that's one thing we can do on this show with Jeff and I on it. We can cover every injury because one of us have had it.
By the way, speaking of this, Jason Babin had surgery for a groin injury, I guess, this past week or so. He's 33 years old. It's his first ever surgery.
Which is
pretty rare, right?
You know, it's very rare because I was actually talking to the offensive line coach, George Arnold, today, who had a very long career. And I asked him how many surgeries he had, and he said none. Jason Babin, another example of a guy that hadn't had surgery. And I'm sitting there going, man, I didn't get the genetics to avoid surgery. I had nine in 10
Babin
years.
Said last week, first time under anesthesia, and, I 33-year-old football player, I was amazed.
Which is very surprising. I don't know. I don't think I know of any guy that ever completed his career without a surgery.
A lot coming up on the rest of Jaguars this week. Some, I guess, breaking news coming up from a former Jaguars head coach. He has a comment on who should start at quarterback, and should he be talking about it, Joe? Joe.
Hi.
Joe.
I'm here.
Joe, there
hey.
He is.
I've lost my
hey,
music.
Joe.
See, I can't do anything without music. Let me talk to the
hey,
ladies.
Joe.
That'll be better.
Yeah.
Hi, JP. Hey, for the first time, the Jaguars have created a club dedicated to the experience of the female fan.
That's you ladies 18 and older. The Jaguars Women's Club. This unique program is designed to connect with, provide exclusive experiences for, and engage the Jags' female fans through updates and special offers. Just go to jaguars.com/womensclub. Jaguars This Week rolls on. Well, season ticket owners, the Jaguars Refer-A-Fan program is designed to put money in your pocket. You're invited to refer friends to become Jaguars multi-year season ticket owners in return for a cash referral fee. For more info on joining the Refer-A-Fan program, just call the Jaguars ticket office at 904-633-2000 or visit jaguars.com.
Thank you, Joe. Welcome back. Final segment of Jaguars This Week. We mentioned the caravans a little bit earlier. Here is the upcoming schedule of caravans. Waycross, Georgia, Friday night, 6 to 8
p.m. That's right, baby.
Valdosta, Georgia, 1 to 3 p.m. at the Valdosta Mall on Saturday the 15th. And then next week it gets hot and heavy again. Palm Coast, Monday night, Tallahassee on Tuesday, Gainesville, Wednesday, Savannah, Georgia on Thursday, and then Brunswick, Georgia on Saturday. And Tony, you'll be at all of those, right?
Every single one. Looking forward to it. I love them. We're, like I said, Orlando on Saturday, Daytona Friday night. It's been great. Been up to Nassau County. Jeff did the nut one at Nocatee mm-hmm. when I was out of town. It's been great. Good. Listen, our fans are – and we have more fans than people give anyone credit. And the Jag fans are good fans. They're all over the place. We had a couple hundred in Orlando. And I'll say one group, and all our fans are great, but the Bold City Brigade
fantastic.
Is their money. I mean, so shout out to those boys and girls because they are representing in every stop and wearing their T-shirts proud. The only thing I'm disappointed in is I don't have a Bold City Brigade T-shirt.
I don't either, Tony.
I'm waiting for one.
They don't make them that big.
We don't. We'll go get a tent and sew one. Triple extra large. It fits me because those are cool shirts.
I think we're 0-for-4 in shirts on this table.
We are.
No, that's all right. No big.
That's fine.
At some point.
It's been noted. We can move on.
Yeah. Before the break, we mentioned a former Jaguars head coach apparently has comment on who should start at quarterback. Adam Schefter reporting that former Jaguars head coach Mike Mularkey told NFL Radio on Sirius that he would start Chad Henne over Blaine Gabbert. But does that matter what he thinks?
No, he's not the head coach anymore. Listen, I liked Mike. I got along with Mike. I don't think it's the best move for head coaches who get fired from to start making comments immediately after on the team they were fired from. If you want to make general comments. Now, with that said, if he was asked a question and that's his opinion, I mean, hey, it's America. He can say what he wishes, but my guess is it's one of the reasons he's not the head coach.
And I'm not sure that it's really that surprising. I mean, Jeff and I were talking about it during the break. When the move happened last year when Blaine got hurt, Mike had already committed to Chad at that point, probably a little prematurely. And
you think?
Yeah. So I don't think it's a big surprise that, you know, to learn that he would start Chad over Blaine. I'm also with Tony. I'm not sure that it really matters that much.
No, I mean,
or at all.
I was greatly disappointed in the way that he handled that situation last year. You know, he's got a quarterback who got hurt and was very quick to name another guy a starting quarterback. And mix the names up, I don't care.
Right.
You know, but you're talking about a guy that got hurt. What's your rush of naming who's going to be the starting quarterback on a Monday or a Tuesday – when you've got to find out what the status is of the guy that got hurt?
Yeah, I remember the
You may not have to even make an issue of it. And he created something that didn't have to happen because he just couldn't wait to name another guy.
And I don't think it looks good. Listen, I don't think it looks good for Mike Mularkey coming out and saying this on national radio.
Well, it sounds like
it makes him look, and I'm not saying Mike is, but it makes him almost look small in making comments on something that, listen, you're not the head coach anymore. And not that you're not free to make comments and to say things about the general football and the NFL and your opinion, but I just don't think it's great if you want to be a coach in the future, if you want, you know, to be – it's a small fraternity, it's a small league, and I just think that does no one any good. I don't think it does Mike any good, and I don't think it does the team any good. I mean, I don't think it really matters to the team overall, but I just don't know why you make that comment on national radio. Even if you believe – listen, we all have opinions – about a lot of things, not just sports, whether it's politics, life, whatever. But just because you're asked a question, especially when you're dealing with the media, that doesn't mean you have to say exactly You don't have to answer every question. Some questions are best just left unanswered.
Well, there's a way to have a little tact with your answer.
I agree.
You know, and unfortunately, you'd never want to make a lot of commentary as an analyst, because that's kind of Mike's role in that situation, going on a radio show. They want him there as a former head coach to be an analyst, to break down a situation. He was asked a question. There was a way to handle that, to not, as Tony said, make himself look in a particular light. The best way to handle that would have been to say, hey, look, you know, I haven't been able to watch the growth of those quarterbacks. I know last year in our situation, you know, we felt strongly about Blaine, and then we got to a point that we just felt like we needed to make a move. This year, I don't know. I haven't been there at OTAs. I haven't been there at the mini camp that they currently have going on. You know, there's a way to answer it without making yourself look small.
I think to put this in perspective, we've probably spent a lot more time on it than anybody else in the building would care about.
Oh, they don't care here. I'm talking from a pure standpoint, pure fan standpoint. And I like Mike, so I don't know why you would do that. And Jeff makes a great point. Mike hasn't, or anyone else, have seen how Blaine has progressed, how Chad has progressed. I mean, we did – remember last year when we just filleted Mike Lombardi because he made comments without ever really watching?
I was listening to that show.
And listen, and at the end of the day, Mike Lombardi can come back and say, well, I was right, Chad Henne up started. That's fine. It's not about being whether he was right or wrong. Is the fact it's very difficult, I think, and almost unfair if you start making comments of who should start, who shouldn't, when there's really been no visibility.
No exposure.
Or exposure to what either guy's been doing. Now, if he would have said at the end of last year, we felt like Chad Henne gave us the best chance to win, and that's why he was starting.
That would have been fine.
That is fine. That is a fair comment. He was the head coach of his team. And if that's what he thought was going to give this team the best chance of winning, that's the move he should have made. It's ultimately what he did. How much of that had to do with the injury and so forth, we don't know. But that's a fair comment. But to start making comments this year, boy, there's a lot of water that's gone under the bridge since he hasn't been in the building.
I think Ryan O'Halloran from the Florida Times
Union
had a great tweet in response to this little
O'Halloran tweets. Ruckus. I don't know how Mike expects to get into the Jaguars Ring of Honor with statements like that. And you know, I don't know that we need to spend a whole lot of time bashing Mike, but that was funny.
That was good.
That was
funny. That's good. Good one, Ryan.
Well, here's a question. When does Mike get another head coaching job?
He won't.
Oh, I know.
No, I think that ship has sailed. He'll probably get a coordinator. Probably be a position coach, a quarterback coach first, and then have the opportunity to be a coordinator. He's had a lot of success in Atlanta and Pittsburgh as a coordinator. My guess is
Miami was a position coach.
He'll probably get another opportunity to do that down the road, but I doubt highly after it didn't work out in Buffalo. Obviously, it didn't work out here.
I got fired at two different places, two different teams. That's
well, fairness, Mike. He quit Buffalo. Because he was not willing to make the changes they asked him to make.
But whatever the circumstances.
But whatever. He's had two shots.
To get a third shot.
Yeah,
exactly. It's very rare unless there's something, you know, it's just rare.
Has there ever been anyone that's gotten three shots? I mean, besides Bill Parcells.
Yeah, if you win.
I'm talking about somebody who.
Well, Wade Phillips. I think he's gotten three.
Denver.
It happens.
Yeah, Denver, Buffalo, and Dallas. Yeah, it does. But okay. Wade also took teams to playoffs
right.
And everything else.
And he was always an exceptional coordinator. To earn the shot again.
Well, he's an exceptional coordinator, and I never knew Wade personally, but everybody that I know that have spent time around Wade Phillips, and just from my own personal watching of Wade Phillips interact with media.
Unbelievable guy.
The guy is fantastic.
Yeah, I've heard the same thing.
Fantastic guy. You know, I'm not saying that Mike Mularkey is not a good guy, but Wade Phillips is, you know, people would put him amongst the best, the very best in the league as far as good guys. So,
and his success as a coordinator usually merited another shot as a head coach.
What he's been able to do down in Houston.
It's remarkable.
It's fantastic. I mean, they had one of the worst defenses in the league, and he turned them around in 1 year. It was the greatest single-season turnaround in NFL history, I believe. The second highest was the Jaguars that 1 year. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it was an amazing turnaround, and obviously
if you look at his track record.
Having JJ Watt
through.
Didn't hurt none either.
Yeah, even, but if you look at his
even though he's not
record,
a great player,
he did
in
San Diego before that to earn the shot, I believe, at Dallas. I mean, it goes on and on.
Megan Owen.
A heads up, tomorrow is the final day of the off-season program. The Jaguars are on the field at 11 o'clock tomorrow. It is open to the public tomorrow. I guess tailgating is allowed during practices, but yes, it's 11
o'clock. The Bolt City Brigade was tailgating when they were out here for the OTAs.
Really?
Yeah.
The Bolt City Brigade.
I pulled into the parking lot, and I see people out there tailgating, and I said, what in the world is going on? Did I miss something? And then I saw the shirts and then saw them come out to practice. That's nicely done.
And
the Bolt City boys and girls, too. I mean, they don't just represent here in Jacksonville. I mean, they're in Orlando, in Daytona. I mean, they are all over.
Really? I didn't know that.
Oh, they're everywhere. I'm telling you, in Orlando, we had a line for autographs, and obviously we did our thing and threw out stuff. It was deep with Bolt City Brigade. I mean, deep. And they're all over the place, and I'll tell you what, they've done an outstanding job of representing the Jaguars, Duval County, Jacksonville. And it's cool because we've always talked about the bridging from the original season ticket holders to that next generation. And the Bolt City Brigade is that generation of young people who grew up in elementary school through junior high and high school when this team first came here and now have the ability to buy tickets and come out. And they're great.
They've already tweeted that you're getting a shirt.
Yeah, you can stop sucking up.
No, listen, they don't have to give me a shirt or not. I'm just saying, you go
kidding
everywhere.
Kidding aside, they're terrific.
They're terrific. And they're just terrific. Because they said you're not getting a shirt, don't get mad.
I'm a little bitter. I'm not
going
to lie.
That was one big ploy right there to suck up to get a shirt.
Hey.
Nicely done.
I like them.
Nicely done.
I'm sure. I might even have you do a commercial.
It is.
I'll do it, too.
Because we need another Vaselli commercial.
But practice is open to the public.
That's right.
And it starts at 11 o'clock. For those that would like to come out.
J, M, and N are the parking lots tomorrow. It is free, and we'll expect to see you out here tomorrow. It's your last chance for about 5 weeks to catch the Jaguars. As training camp opens in late July, the veterans will be out of here. The rookies will be around, but not in public. So come tomorrow if you can. If you can't, then check out all the coverage from John Osher and myself on Jaguars.com. We'll have it right after practice is done. Indeed.
Now I gotta say,
if you're coming, bring your sunscreen. It's hot out there.
You guys are doing a great job on the website. Kudos to you guys, Pat. You know the whole crew. Very nicely done. Very nicely done.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening to Jaguars This Week. Our thanks to John Osher, Jeff Logan, Tony Vaselli, for everyone involved. This is JP Shadrick. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week on Jaguars This Week.